Bless them. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 175, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Come, all ye people, bless our God, and tell his glorious praise abroad, who holds our soul in life, who never lets our feet be moved, and though our faith he oft has proved, upholds us in the strife. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 175.
Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the first epistle general of Peter, and thereof the fourth chapter. 1 Peter 4, but first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Peter 4. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall uncover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is once again that we are permitted by Thee to gather round about Thy holy word and everlasting testimony. In it are written those things which are necessary for the welfare of our souls, traveling to meet our Judge. But we are dead in sins and trespasses by nature, and Thou knowest the heart of each and every one of us, as we do come up according as we have been taught by our fathers and our mothers, unto Thy house once again each Sabbath day. And there we do fold our hands and close our eyes. There we do try to pray unto Thee, but we have no prayer in our heart. It is all custom, it is all formal, it is even superstition, unless Thou givest unto us that new life that hungers and that thirsts and that pants for Thee, as the hart panteth for the brooks of water, that Thou may look upon young and old together. And when we are gathered in this Thy holy day, and when it pleaseth Thee to look upon us and to give us so many privileges and that are withheld from so many in this world, and wilt Thou prevent that they would testify against us in that great day of days, but that we may be given true humility of heart, that Thy word may be quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, to bring us in the dust of self-abasement before Thee, and that there we may cry out from the bottom of that pit, and that we have brought ourselves into and our covenant head Adam, and that there we may cry out in all our wretchedness and in all our misery and in all our inability to help ourselves, and that Thou wouldst look down from heaven, Thy dwelling place, upon us in our wretched and miserable condition, and that Thou wouldst show grace and mercy unto us who are undeserving of the least part thereof. Oh, that Thou may give both young and old such a cry, O Lord, and then not for the first time only, but also by renewal. For we, being dead in sins and in trespasses, we will never cry truly unto Thee. But Thou art the Alpha and the Omega. Thou art the beginning and the end. And it all belongs to Thee, and the power is with Thee. And therefore we beseech Thee, and when we come into Thy house, and therefore we acknowledge Thee as our Maker, as our Creator, and as the Redeemer of Thy people. O Lord, then we may acknowledge that we have sinned, and that we are unworthy, and that Thou shouldest look upon us in this hour. But Thou art our only hope, and Thou art our only expectation. O, that Thou mayest look in this hour, even upon Thy dear and only begotten Son. O, that Thou mayest see that blood that He has brought with Him into that holy place where Thou art, and that Thou wouldst, O Lord, look upon that blood, that Thou wouldest look upon His hands and His side, that Thou wouldest fulfill Thy promise unto Thy dear Son, who has fulfilled all things that Thou hast given unto Him to do, and He has done it perfectly. Lord, then there is not one jot and one tittle, and that has not been completed by Him. Oh, is He not worthy then of that reward which Thou hast promised unto Him, an inheritance that shall serve Him? O Lord, do it then for Thy own great name's sake, Do it then for thy dear Son's sake, and that the multitude of his worshipers may be increased in this day over the length and breadth of this whole world. But may it be also in our midst, amongst us and our dear children, that thou would sanctify and bless all that he has accomplished, and that it may become food and drink for our souls, both young and old. For we live in the last days, and we can read in thy holy word how that thy servant John has seen an angel come down from heaven with that key of the bottomless pit in his hand. And he has taken hold of the dragon, that old serpent that is the devil and Satan. And he has bound him and shut him up for 1,000 years. And that he could not deceive the nations, but then he must be loosed a little while. And so we do live in that time. Oh, in that last time wherein more and more Satan is loosed. And he goes about as a roaring lion, as an angel of light. O Lord, to deceive and to destroy in the midst of the world and of thy church. O that thou mayest remember us in that time, and that thou mayest prepare us for the time that is before us. Our children, the parents also of the young children, oh, they are born into this world, this evil world. And then they also will have, if thou wilt spare them to see, all the wickedness that shall come into this world, and the blood also that shall be shed in the streets. Oh, that thou mayest prepare them, Lord, in the days of their youth, in their childhood, and that that tender fear of thee may be born in their hearts, and that they may learn to love thee, and that they, with our young people also, in the days of their youth, and may seek a salvation for their poor souls, and that they may see that there is no ground to stand upon, except that they are hidden in that place of refuge that thou hast prepared for thy people. O Lord, remember them, the parents also. O, do give in this evil and wicked time them faithfulness, diligence, a fleeing from all the temptations and the drawings of the prince of darkness in this world, and a looking unto those things that are coming in the world, that they also with their children may be given eyes to see what is that one thing that is needful. Remember grandparents also. Give us that faithfulness to warn when we also do see all the vanity in the midst of this world more and more as life goes by. Oh, that we may be given more and more also to warn of the seriousness of our life, and that thou mayest convert our seed and our seed's seed. Do remember all the afflicted ones, widows, widowers, orphans, handicapped, those who suffer in the mind, in the body, from serious diseases that receive treatments. Those that are addicted to drugs, to alcohol, so many miseries, so many troubles. Where there are troubles in the midst of families, give love between husbands and wives, obedience to children and the youth. And that thou may give all together a seeking for the one thing that is needful. Look upon thou us in this hour, O Lord, wilt thou command. Oh, we can read it in thy holy word, that thou, the Father, and also the Son, and dost send forth thy Holy Spirit. We beseech thee, Lord, could it please thee in these moments, for we can read that thou dost sit in thy high and thy holy place, and thou dost behold all the things that take place here upon this world. And thou knowest where thy people are, and thou knowest where thine elect are. And could it please thee to send forth thy Spirit, and that he may come upon the wings of the wind, and that he may come to dwell here, to work here, to go from pew to pew, from heart to heart, to strengthen us, thy servant, and to give us the unction of thy Spirit, that thy word may flow forth in great richness and abundance, and that there may be an undeserved blessing from thy heavenly store, from the storehouses of the greater Joseph, which are yet full, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 34, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. I love the Lord. His strength is mine. He is my God. I trust his grace. My fortress high, my shield divine, my Savior and my hiding place. Psalter 34, stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
Beloved congregation, we read in God's Word, "And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Who spake those words? They were the words of Christ. To whom were they spoken? And they were spoken unto his servant, that is, the disciple, the apostle, Peter. When thou art converted. Children, was Peter converted? Say yes. Peter was already converted. So what does that mean that the Lord Jesus said to him, "When thou art converted"? God's children, they will tell you that his people need to be converted every day again. Sometimes the word conversion is speaking about regeneration. Regeneration takes place only one time in the life of a person. The Lord Jesus does not speak about regeneration there to the Apostle Peter. What does he speak about? He speaks about Peter's restoration. That is, his turning again from the sin, from the fall that he had to experience in this life. The Lord Jesus had warned him beforehand. But Peter did not listen. It was an awful lesson. A lesson in self-knowledge. Does the Lord give to us also lessons in self-knowledge? God's people can be so unteachable, so difficult to be taught, that the Lord has to allow them to learn it in that school of hard knocks. So that was with Peter. But it is not good to learn everything by experience. It is good that there are things that we may learn from other persons, especially through their sin, when they do fall. And so Christ instructs Peter. He says to him, "When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." When thou art restored, when thou art brought back beforehand, before it ever took place, the Lord Jesus tells him this. And when thou art brought back from thy sin, then strengthen thy brethren. That is, the Lord Jesus gives to Peter a commission. He is to instruct. He is to instruct others, that is, the very church of God. He is to warn them. He is to show them the way that they are to go, to strengthen them in the way of truth, that they may have a good foundation, and that they may know the way wherein that they are to walk. Peter has done this. Peter has been faithful to the command of the Lord. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And that we wish to consider with you in this afternoon out of the portion that was read to you, 1 Peter 4, and there of the 19th verse. 1 Peter 4, verse 19, these words: "Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. So far the words of our text. Peter's exhortation to sufferers. First, to which sufferers he speaks. We find that in the first portion. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God. To which sufferers he speaks. Second, what he exhorts these sufferers. Commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Peter's exhortation to sufferers, first, to which sufferers he speaks. Second, what he exhorts these sufferers. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God. There is, congregation, a suffering which is according to the will of God. That is often a mystery. A mystery to those who suffer. That they say, how can such a suffering as this be according to the will of God? Asaph said that he was envious at the foolish when he saw the prosperity of the wicked. He said that there are no bands in their death. Their strength is firm. He was jealous of the portion of the wicked that seemed to him to be without suffering. Solomon writes that the portion of the wicked is that which falleth unto me, the portion of that foolish man. It happens to the foolish man the same as it happens unto me. Why then, he says, am I more wise? That is a temptation to suffering souls, that they say, doth not God see the things that take place in my life? But Peter says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Thus those sufferers he calls beloved. Suffering is not a strange thing, Peter says, for his church. And they are followers. They are followers of him whom Paul says is the captain of their salvation, who was made perfect, he says, through suffering. Thus it is not strange. When does that suffering begin? That does not begin when the enemy says it will begin. It does not begin when the enemy says that they have decided to oppress, to persecute the church of God. No. It begins when the Lord says that that suffering for his people will begin. We see that in the life of Job. And then that is a suffering that is according to the will of God. The Lord chooses specifically to do it. The Lord chooses the weight, the intensity of that suffering. And he chooses when that suffering shall end. All of this, for every single one of his children, is laying there in the hands of God himself. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God. What does that mean? That means that there is also a suffering which is not according to the will of God. Say, is there anything that happens in the world which is not according to the will of God? nothing that happens which is not according to his secret will. But there are indeed many things that happen which are not according to his revealed will. And those are the things that the Apostle Peter is speaking about here. If we read the history of the church, then we can hear that there are people who have sought martyrdom. They have sought suffering. But it is not a suffering which is according to the will of God, as if suffering is in some way meritorious, as if suffering earns or gains a man anything, or asceticism that a man is bringing upon himself, those sufferings less or more. Thus, our heart that is very subtle, that we are able to deceive ourselves, always going back onto that broken covenant, that even things like the restraining from the things of this world, even good things, right things in the life of God's children, yet they can be in their heart accomplished in a legal manner. But the apostle also speaks about another kind of suffering here. He says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, or a thief, or an evildoer, or a busybody in other men's matters. Why does he say this? Because he says this is not a suffering according to the will of God. That is not a suffering that is for the honor of the Lord, for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is far from it. That is a suffering that we bring on ourselves. It is a suffering that we deserve when we have committed some evil in this world. That is a suffering that is a reproach. It is a reproach unto God. It is a reproach unto Christ. It is a reproach unto the cause of the Word of God and the cause of the Gospel. Was that not a shame? That was not an honor. It was a shame. When Abraham, when Isaac had to be rebuked by that heathen king Abimelech. Imagine that, children. God's own people, the patriarchs, they did not tell the truth. They did not tell the whole truth. And therefore that heathen king, who knew also the difference between a lie and the truth, had to admonish God's own people. How is that, young people, boys and girls? How do we consider punishment? Are you ashamed when you are punished by your father, by your mother, by your teachers? When you are admonished in school, are you ashamed? Is there still a little red that comes upon your cheeks? Because we live in a different world than years ago. That in an outward way, then children were ashamed when they were rebuked. But we see that less and less. It is a very dangerous thing. It is a very evil thing. Or do you mock at it when you are rebuked? And do you laugh at it with your friends? That is very, very wicked. Peter, he says, let none of you so suffer that you must be admonished, that you must be punished by a civil magistrate. Yet, he says, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Well, you say, who says that? Yes, that is Peter. Peter knew very well what that meant, didn't he? Peter was afraid, wasn't he? He was afraid to suffer. He was afraid to suffer as a Christian. Art not thou also one of them? Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Oh, then there is fear. There is fear of suffering. There is fear of death. Peter here in this chapter speaks about the fiery trial which is to try you. That is what Peter experienced. He experienced a fiery trial. What does it mean to be fiery? Well, that is speaking about a fire that burns very, very hot. It is a reference actually to a refiner's fire. What is a refiner's fire? He is one who refines metals. When I was a little boy, a little bit older, that was my first job, children. And then when I went to work, I had to work with a machine that used metal and got very, very hot. We had to put lead in a pot and to heat it up until it was molten metal. And then on the top of that metal, slowly you began to see that all the impurities, they came to the top. That slag was something that we had to take off with a little spoon. So when you made it very, very hot, then the impurities, they were separated out of that metal. You know what the Roman Catholic Church says? It says that God's people, before they go to heaven, they must first go to purgatory. And there in purgatory, the Lord burns off all the venial sins, all the little sins that they have committed in their life. They need to be purged by the fire. Well, we may ask where we find that in the Word of God. You will say we cannot read this from Genesis to Revelation. We read something else. Is there a fire? Is there a purging? There is. That fire is not after this life. After this life, that people are relieved of all the fiery trials of this world. And that salvation of the Son of God is so perfect. It is so complete. There is nothing that needs to be added to it. There they may rest in their beds. There they may await that day that their body may be resurrected from the dead and may be joined in the enjoyment of their soul. There is a fire. Where is that fire? The fire is not after this life. That fire is in this life. That fire is already for that people here below. The Apostle Peter speaks of this fire. And in that fire, the dirt comes out. Peter experienced that. When he was standing there in that Sanhedrin, it was in that fire that Peter learned who he was. It was in the fire that Peter learned what he was capable of doing. He did not know that before. He said before he would never. But in the fire, he learned the corruption. In the fire, he learned the evil that still lived in his heart, that came all to the surface. Oh, the Lord is going to purify his own people. He does that here already in the trial. What was it that made that trial so fiery? Peter speaks here about not only a trial, but he speaks about a fiery trial. What is it that made that trial for Peter so especially fiery? Would that trial that Peter was in have also been fiery for us? Well, there were two things. There were two things, and those two things together, they were the things that were making that fire burn so very, very hot. What was the first thing? Well, that Peter was afraid to suffer. He was afraid for his life. Peter speaks about that here. He speaks about the keeping of your soul, the keeping of your life, the keeping of your breath, that it may be kept, that it would not die. That is natural. That is how we were created. That law of self-preservation that God has given to each and every man in this world, also to the Lord Jesus. Because he was a real, because he is a true man. Then as a man, he had also that desire to remain alive, also a recoiling from suffering in this world. Thus, Peter, he is afraid to suffer. He is afraid to die. Say, but he said he was not. He said, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. You can say it, and we can say it. How that will be in the suffering. People say that about Ukraine. If that was us in Canada, if it was us in the United States, we would do this. We would do that. We would give our life. Wait a moment. Peter could say it too. But it did not change his nature. We do not just take that out of our nature. Thus, that was on the one side. Peter does not want to suffer. Peter does not want to die. Then there is something on the other side. Well, you say, why did he not then leave? Why did he not go out of that palace? Why did he not forsake that place of temptation? Why was he there? Why did he even go? You can answer that question, children. Why did Peter, we read, he followed afar off, and then he went in. Why did Peter go in? One word, love. Love. Peter loved the Lord Jesus. But Peter went into that place, and what Peter had said unto Christ, he meant in his heart. Do you know what Peter would like to do there? He would like to speak. He would like to defend. In his heart, he would like to stand against all those enemies of Christ. That is what he would like to do. There was love that was living, that was burning in his heart. If there was no love, he would never have been there. Thus, it is love that is planted by the Lord, that is living and burning in the heart of Peter. And thus there is a warfare. A warfare. What is that warfare? Well, we said there are two things. There is on the one side, Peter does not want to suffer. Peter does not want to die. And that was more than even just natural, because the Lord has taught Peter something. The Lord has taught Peter the value of his soul. There are so many persons in this world that do not realize the value of their soul. They say dead is dead. And therefore that life that is not so very precious unto them, that needs to be different with us. Because we have not only that natural abhorrence, but we know that where that tree falleth, whether it is to the north or to the south, there it shall lie. There that great decision is made. Oh, where shall it be, forever with the Lord or forever without him? All that is on the one side. Then on the other side, oh, then there is that love in his heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus we say that warfare. The world does not experience such a warfare. Even the professing church does not experience such a warfare. And why not? Why not? The Lord Jesus says that we are walking either on the narrow way or we are walking on the broad way. And when we are walking on the broad way, then there is always a way around our difficulties. Then we can go this way and that way, and we can avoid those difficulties. And to lie, say it is a little lie, that is not so much of a problem. Or on that broad way, it is very different than when we are on the narrow way. Because that narrow way is straight. And when there is an obstacle, then it is necessary to go straight over. Over the mountains and down into the valleys, whatever that they will bring. But that church has to travel only upon that narrow way. Thus we say that trial that is not experienced by the world and by the professing church. Our conscience, that can make it difficult, because we know we may not lie. Do we know that too? That we may not bear false witness? Does our conscience make that more difficult? That makes it into a trial, indeed. But it is love that made it into a fiery trial for the Apostle Peter. Oh, Peter, he has to make a choice, as every suffering Christian, as we read here, as every true Christian, then it is only when love is living in the heart that that fiery trial is experienced. David said, Lord, remove from me reproach and contempt. Wilt thou take it away from me? And why did he want it removed? All because of that trial. Oh, love. Love makes that people want to go forward in that way. But all the things that are going to come against it, they come against my flesh. They come against everything that I am truly, the way that I was born. Oh, remove from me reproach and contempt. Why? Because I am afraid that I will not stand in that fiery trial. How was it for Peter? With cursing and with swearing. I know not the man. 3 times over, according to the saying of the Lord Jesus Christ, beforehand. But Christ had said more. To Peter he had said, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And so, he said, and when thou art converted, he did not say, if thou art converted. No, he said, when. When? Because the conversion of Peter was absolutely sure. Christ had prayed for him. And that day was going to come after his sin, that he was going to turn away from that sin. Everything was in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord converts his people. He converts them for the first time, and he converts them by renewal. We read, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and he went out and wept bitterly. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. That is what we read in this chapter. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, he calls them brethren. He calls them beloved. When the Lord converted him, then Peter said, Lord, thou knowest everything. Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Was that the truth? That was the truth. That was the truth. And the Lord did know it, even in that room, even in that palace. Thou knowest that I love thee. But the trial, but that fiery trial, oh, those are the sufferers. The sufferers according to the will of God. Now Peter, he must exhort them. He must strengthen those who suffer according to the will of God. What does he say to them? Let us sing first. 32, 1, 2, and 3. No, 398. 398. The Lord upholds the faltering feet and makes the weak securely stand. The burdened ones, bowed down with grief, are helped by his most gracious hand. And what follows in all three stanzas of Psalter 398. therefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. That is how Peter strengthens the suffering brethren according to the command of Christ after that he was converted. He strengthens them. He strengthens them based upon his own experience, upon his own fall. He strengthens them against his own sin. And what does he say? He says, to those suffering beloved, commit. Commit the keeping of your soul to him. Or are you afraid to die? Are you afraid to suffer? You want to keep your life. You want to preserve your life. You want to hold on to it. The Lord has taught you the preciousness of your own soul. But can you keep it? When I was young, I had a friend. He said, I went to visit an old child of the Lord. He said to me, and when he left, that man said to him, no, he said to that man, take care. The man said to him, can you take care? That was instruction that man had received from the Lord. And Peter experienced that he could not take care of his own soul. And now he speaks to those beloved brethren in that fiery trial that was to try them. And he says to them, commit. Commit now the keeping of your soul to him. What does that mean? Commit. Actually, those three words, commit the keeping, that is really one Greek word, parathithime, and that means to place beside yourself perhaps, to place to someone else, to deposit something, that is to commit to the charge of someone else. We often do that. We do that with our things here in this world. We commit those things to the charge of someone else. We do that with our children. We have them maybe in the nursery, parents. Children, do you have a little brother or a little sister in the nursery today? And your mother and your father, they have committed the keeping of your little brother, of your little sister, to the babysitter. They have committed the keeping of them. Now I will ask you a question. If someone would yell, fire, where would your mother go? Where would your father go? They're not going to go out that back door. They're going that way. Why? Have they not committed the keeping of your brother into the hands of someone else? They have. And they can sit here easy. But in the fire, then it is not so easy to commit. Now, in the fire, they want to go and to protect themselves. Peter, he is speaking about the fiery trial. Peter speaks here not about our children. He speaks about your own soul that is our most prized possession. He speaks about that fiery trial and committing the keeping of your soul to Him in the fire. What is that? That is an act of faith. It is an act of saving faith, not just of the implanting of faith. It is an act of the exercise of faith. Peter experienced that. And what did Peter experience? That the exercise of faith is a gift of God. And yet, he admonishes that suffering church to do what he knows they cannot do, what he could not do in that fire, to commit the keeping of their soul in that fire, in that fiery trial. He knows they cannot do it. And by the inspiration of the Spirit of the Lord, because the Lord is so good, He helps His people. He gives help to faith. And what does he do for their help? He speaks about him unto whom that he is admonishing them to commit their souls. Who is that? That they are admonished to commit their soul unto, he says, to him as unto a faithful creator. Oh, Peter had lost sight of that in his fall, in his fiery trial. There Christ had stood. He stood there before all his enemies. He stood there, oh, like a weak man, like a helpless man. And all the enemies, they had power. And he had none. His Godhead that was hidden. And Peter's faith that sank very, very low. But do you know what Peter says now? It was not true. It was not true. He was no weak man. He is no helpless man. He says he is the Creator. He is the Creator of the heaven and of the earth. That is what he reminds his suffering brethren. What? Of his power. His great power. His omnipotence. He has made everything. The whole world. And he has made you too. Can he not keep your soul? If he has made it all, can he not then preserve it all? Can he not then keep it all? Oh, if I only had a little faith in that moment to see that he was my creator. Oh, I had never sinned. I had not been so fearful as unto a creator. No, a faithful creator. Oh, then Peter reminds them not only of his ability, his omnipotence, but he speaks about his faithfulness, a faithful creator, the willingness of the creator. What does that mean? To be faithful. That means you can rely on him. That means his word is true. That means he has never gone against that word, that promise that he has given, that covenant that he has given, that can never be denied. Oh, then Peter speaks about Christ in his exalted state. When all power has been given unto him in heaven and in earth, and that purpose that the Lord had here below, when he gave himself, that has not changed. He is the living God. And he has come to deliver his church and every one of that suffering brethren that he is commissioned to instruct. Oh, they are admonished to commit their soul unto him. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. In well-doing. What does that mean? You remember the trial, children? The trial of Peter? He had to choose. You have to choose sometimes too. He had to choose to do ill or to do well. He was either going to speak the truth and suffer for it. Did not want to suffer for it. Or he was going to speak the falsehood and try to hold on to his soul. Try to hold on to his life. Try to keep his own life. And now Peter says to that suffering beloved, he says, commit your soul. Do not try to hang on to your own life. Do not try to keep your own life because you cannot keep your life. Oh, let that now that life go. And he says, do well. Do that which is right. You take the fire out of the trial. You take away that warfare. If you may so commit your soul to him, in whose hands your soul is so safe, and then you may only express your love. And what lives truly in your heart. You know what Christ says? He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Is that not true, people of the Lord? It is so. When they only may receive a little strength, that they may commit their soul to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Daniel experienced that in the lion's den and his three friends when they were in that furnace of fire. And when they were in well-doing, then that Son of God, then he came to keep their soul. They had committed it to him. Oh, that fiery trial, that can be the best place to be in the whole world. When that Son of God, he came to stand with them in that trial, when they had completely given over their soul into his hands. Oh, how near, is that then fire? Is that then fire? Not a hair of their head was singed. Not the smell of fire to pass on to their clothing. Oh, that heathen king. He came to Daniel. Oh, Daniel, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Oh, king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths that they did not hurt me. Inasmuch as innocency was found in me before him, and also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt. Oh, a blessed committing. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful creator. Peter, he says, those that suffer according to the will of God will not have a hair of their head singed, and their clothing that shall not even smell like fire. O congregation, do we suffer? Do we suffer? We all suffer. There's much suffering in the world. This one thing, this one something else. Children, maybe not so much when you are young. You become older. And then what kind of suffering shall be in your young life? As you become older, and Satan, you can read that in the book of Revelations. Oh, that chain, he is chained. Cannot do what the Lord does not allow him to do. But then loosening more and more. That is what we see in our days. More and more that loosening of the chain of the prince of darkness to go out as an angel of light, but also as a roaring lion. Oh, suffering. But will we now suffer according to the will of God? Do we have that love? That love that was in the heart of Peter that made it the suffering according to the will of God? Because we can suffer as a visible church member, but that does not make it a suffering according to the will of God. Or how then do we suffer? Are you ready to suffer already, young people? Peter speaks about suffering as a Christian. You know, Joseph, he was ready to suffer as a Christian. To follow the law of God, even though wickedness, temptation that was laid before him, so desirous for our flesh, young man. But he was willing to suffer. He was willing to go into the prison for the will of God. Are you willing to do that too? Are you willing to dress like a Christian? Oh, friends, we see sometimes things that grieve us. Say, is that our church member? Is that our church member? Girls, oh, you do not look like a Christian. No, the devil, he says, man be a woman be a man. Not the word of God. We need to be honest. Do you know what the Lord says? He says, they that will confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. Are you ready to do that? That you will appear in this world even. That is the least thing we can do. But he says, whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. Oh, how many of God's children do not tremble when they hear those words, for fear that they will be denied by him. Why? Because there is in their life so little of this suffering for the will, according to the will of God. They feel that. But the Lord said to Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. That is not only against a fall, but also in that fall. And then you can be sure that the devil, that Satan, he has attacked Peter after he fell even more than before. All the attacks. When Peter went out and wept bitterly. Oh, you can be sure that Satan was right there. But do you know what we read? The Lord sent an angel from heaven And he spoke to those women. And those women were to give direction unto the disciples. Go tell my disciples and Peter. And Peter, that I go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. And Peter. And then we read that the 11 apostles, that they spoke to those Emmaus travelers, and then they said, the Lord is risen indeed. And he hath appeared unto Simon. O congregation, is he not worthy to commit our soul unto him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator? O who will care for the soul of his people through whatever is coming for them in this world? They are the apple of his eye. Not one of them shall be lost. Oh, the Lord bless the faithful admonition of his servant Peter when he has strengthened his brethren, his suffering brethren. May they be also in our midst. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, give us instruction in our hearts. Oh, we do not want to suffer, but that we may suffer truly according to thy will. Give the love of thee within, and then there shall be that warfare, but give it unto that suffering people to commit their soul to thee. Then what a blessed place they have already here below in this world. Then they may be and feel a little in thy presence, a little in thy communion, and then they may experience a little of heaven upon the earth. Oh, remember us, dismiss us with thy blessing. Keep us in the week to come. Remember us as a consistory in our meeting. The school board also in their meeting in this week, could it please thee also to send rain upon the earth here in this place where we live, where there is so much dryness. O Lord, it is all in thy hands. Thou canst withhold it righteously because thou knowest all our sin. But wilt thou forgive our sin? And could it please thee to yet bless us undeservedly for Jesus' sake? Amen. 32:1-3. Lord, hear the right. Regard my cry, my prayer from lips sincere. Send I approval from on high. My righteousness make clear. Thou in the night my heart has tried, nor found it turned from thee aside. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 32. Thank you. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.